and Recreation Advisory Board. Today's Thursday, March 11th. Do we need introductions today? It doesn't appear so. So let's go ahead and go to today's agenda. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just trying my shared documents. Was it working? I was talking to Shane. It appears to be working, but did we check with Tara? We need to make sure we recorded and went live. Sorry to interrupt. Are we okay, Tara?
Yep, we are live.
Okay. And
it appears that my share contact functionality is working. If you want to email me something, I can post it.
I got it up. I just took over as the presenter. Thank you. Go ahead. Your meeting.
So there was just a little bit of an update on tonight's agenda, moving the community comments up to the top as opposed to number 6. And the 2021 board goals discussion is a little bit premature. And so what we'd like to do is change that to Parks and Rec Advisory Board Planning. With those two changes, are there any other items that the board would like to see on the agenda or any changes? Do we need a motion to pass tonight's agenda? Are we good?
You do need a motion to change it.
All right, I move that we pass the agenda.
Okay. Do I have a second?
A second.
All right. We can raise our hands. Sarah's here. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Sarah, have you had a chance to meet the new board members yet?
I haven't. Sorry. What was last month? Oh, I think I had to work. Sorry.
Okay. So we've passed tonight's agenda. Before we get into summary notes, why don't we take a moment to go around and introduce ourselves and our community that we live in. And I'll start. I'm Vicki Handy. I live in the Willamette neighborhood. Chris, how about you?
Chris Owens. I live in Robinwood.
I'm Jane Forbes. I live in Skyline Ridge.
John Lindman, I live in Hidden Springs.
Todd Olson over in Barrington Heights.
Sarah Silvernail, I live in Bolton.
I'm Jules Walters. I'm the mayor and I'm the liaison to this group. And I live, you know, I'm sort of Savannah Oaks, but really Willamette, kind of like right in the middle. So good evening, everyone.
Hi, and joining us from staff, we have Tara.
Tara, Parks and Rec.
And Ken Warner, Parks and Rec, and I live at City Hall.
And I live at City Hall. It's a nice address. I like that. Okay. I'd like to ask, is there approval for the summary notes from last week?
I'll motion to accept those as is.
All right, Todd, you're confusing me because your name shows up as Vicki Olson.
Yeah, I know. I'm borrowing Vicki's computer tonight, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, I'm okay. On my wife's computer too.
Do we have a second to approve the summary notes? Second from Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. So we look to community comments. Tara, do we have any guests joining us tonight?
We do. We have Tom Meyer, and I will go ahead and let him in.
And I would like to ask if there's a board member who can be our timekeeper. Somebody offer? Thanks, Chris. It's 5 minutes.
Okay, let's see.
Good evening, Tom. If you take yourself off mute, we'll be able to hear you. And if you have a camera, we'd love to see you as well. Tom, we're unable to hear you. So if you can hear us, you need to make sure that your microphone is turned on. Ken, is there any way to support Tom here? Ken, you're on mute.
Sorry, I mean, we have control to mute or unmute. It appears.
Now he's on mute. There you go. No. Okay, Tom, it appears that you are off mute, but we still cannot hear you. Well, I would like to suggest that I think Tom's had some technical difficulties in the past. Maybe working with your tech support, Ken, before the next meeting might help him get set up to join without a problem. I'd like to maybe suggest that.
I think Mr. Meyer has worked with Shane a number of times, and I don't know why it doesn't work, but we'll certainly do that. We'll connect him with Shane again.
And Tom, if you can hear us, I just want you to know that I'm sorry the technical difficulties have prevented your comments tonight. And I encourage you to come at our next meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Looks like he signed off and came back in, so maybe it works this time.
All right, he's on his phone now. And Tom, you still need to take it off mute.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I just went over to my phone, obviously having problems with my PC. Is there feedback?
Yeah, because you're signed in with your computer and your phone, it's picking up the sound and creating a feedback loop.
Okay, I signed out from the PC.
That's perfect, Tom. Okay. Thank you. Let's go ahead and start time.
Okay, I just wanted to make a brief comment about glyphosate used in Eugene. And last month, Ken made a comment that Eugene is not a glyphosate-free city, and that's not true. I went through their IPM, and they have a number of qualifiers, the most important being that they use glyphosates only in the event of a emergency. And see if I can get the unless there's a threat to public health or safety. They have a number of precautions that they take. These include a 25-foot buffer around playgrounds and exercise stations, stormwater catch basins and inlets, picnic areas. All of this is violated at Tanner Creek Park. They have a very poor catch basin system. The courts drain into a French drain that I told Mr. Warner to renovate as he was redoing the dedicated courts. It doesn't work. In fact, all the water from the courts drains right into the kitty area because of that. And it's a terrible chemical slew because if you don't realize it, glyphosates have a half-life of 5 years once it gets into the soil. And so all the area around the courts on the eastern edge of the courts and all the water shed from the courts flows right into the kitty area. And that's just a disaster waiting to happen. I've talked to so many people at Tanner Creek Park. They're just amazed that the city uses glyphosates. It's a tragedy. It's a known carcinogen. California declares it by Proposition 65 a known carcinogen. The fact that Oregon doesn't mitigate the fact that it is a it is a carcinogenic compound, and I have contracted non-Hodgkin's lymphoma because of the use of glyphosates at Tanner Creek Park. To quote from Eugene's IPM, which is the Integrated Pest Management Policy, to reduce the need for pesticides, parks and open space staff use mechanical techniques such as mowing, propane weed burning, hand weeding, get that, hand weeding, crack sealing, and mulching first before using pesticides. Our staff are experts in identifying individual weed species and understanding which methods are the most effective on each weed. There are 10 pesticide-free neighborhood parks throughout the city's park system. Every one of our parks in West Lynn are sprayed with glyphosates and other carcinogenic compounds. It's a tragedy, and people are really up in arms. And, you know, I've sent the names of almost 400 people that want this substance banned, not only from Tanner Creek Park, but from all of West Lynn parks. This is just a disaster waiting to happen, and a class action lawsuit that's just waiting to happen. I did some homework and talked to the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and they recommended glufosinate. And Mr. Warner should talk to the other cities that have banned glyphosates and find out how it is that they came to a program whereby they can get by without the use of carcinogenic compounds. I doubt that there's rarely been a petition that's come before PRAB that in fact 400 people have signed, and yet there's no movement by PRAB or the city council to get rid of this carcinogenic compound in our city parks. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, other than you know, if you looked at some of the pictures that I've sent, these sprayings are done right next to the kitty area. I've got some pictures that show the consequences of the use of glyphosates, and people are up in arms. And I don't know whether they've called, but people have signed a petition. I've got several petitions out there, and I think it's time to acknowledge the fact that this is a carcinogenic compound, and you're destroying the health of people like me.
Sorry, 5 minutes is up.
Okay.
Tom, I'd like to thank you for your participation tonight and for sharing your information. One of the things we'll be doing later tonight is a little bit of planning and looking at the operations and safety of the parks. Definitely needs to be in our plan. So we appreciate you bringing the information and the examples from other cities. It's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Board, do you have any questions or follow-up? All right. Do we have any other community comments or that people who are waiting?
No.
Okay. I'd just like to recognize that a community comment was emailed to us from Dave, what's his last name? Clinky.
Dave Clinky, our unofficial volunteer coordinator of all volunteers in West Lynn.
Yes, and I know that we do not have process where we read letters out loud, but if I may, I just want to read the first sentence. Our city staff, specifically the Parks Department, has done an amazing job in responding to the ice storm damage and getting many of our parks safely reopened. And I'd like to thank Tara, Jen, Ken specifically for supporting our efforts. So if you haven't had a chance to read through that email, I encourage you to do so. I think that it speaks not only well of our staff, but also of our volunteers in our city. It's well worth it. Any other comments on that from staff or the board?
Well, I know living across from Mary S. Young, those guys have been busting their butts in there for the last 2 weeks. I mean, I hear nothing but wood chippers and chainsaws all day long.
I on the items of interest from the board, I kind of wanted to just hear, wow, what has the last month been like, Ken?
we can talk about that whenever you'd like. It's kind of an amazing story to tell, but we can do it later.
Okay. Do you want to go ahead and go into early overview of budget and capital improvement plan for the board?
Yeah, we can do that. So what I thought we would do is, hopefully everybody can see that screen. I don't know how many of you have looked at city budgets, but I thought we would just, you know, glean over it real quick. In the city of Westland, we have a 2-year budget. In the middle of the screen, you know, here was, this is a little older, but it has what our actuals were and our estimates. So the top, this is all online, our approved budget book, which is about 180 pages. But I just thought I'd kind of glean the resources we have or revenue streams for our Parks and Rec department. You know, depending on how we do each year, we have a beginning fund balance that's carried over. We're not like some government agencies that have to spend everything in June because it all goes away. We receive a portion of our property tax revenue. There's some intergovernmental money that may come in from other government agencies. We have grants that we write and receive. We have recreation program fees. That's all of our special events, adult community center, recreation programs. We have our park maintenance fee. You know, someone comes on a water bill. Sometimes a lot of interest, not a lot. We get small transfers from other funds at times. So this year, over here in 2021, we're projected to have about $4.6 million in revenue. And then we have our requirements, which, you know, major portion is personnel services, which is our salaries, benefits. Materials and services is basically everything that we purchase and provide. Expenses for all of our park maintenance, training, office supplies, recreation programs, concerts, bands, everything we spend. Transfers to other funds are the other city organizations that support us, finance, administration. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So outlay, which is for equipment, majority of this is vehicles. We have leased vehicles recently. We purchase vehicles every year on a replacement plan that is managed by our public works director, who manages our fleet. We have parks projects. Now, this is coming out of our parks fund. We have a separate go bond fund for projects, and we have a separate SDC fund also. And then we have grant projects. And then we're required to have contingencies as a carryover. And then we end up with an ending balance. So any questions on that? I didn't really want to go into a lot of detail, but I don't know who's seen city budgets.
I just have to say, because I do see city budgets, that the line item for personnel is amazingly low for a city of this size.
is. We would like.
I think he knows that.
Quick question, Ken.
Yep.
Like with the issue we just have going on with cleaning up the parks and stuff like that, you know, the obviously that's going to cost a ton of money.
Yeah.
I'm hopefully that's not coming out of what you just showed us and it's coming from someplace else.
Yeah. Initially, all of the cleanup is coming out of city budget. So our public works department has taken on the aspect of removing all the debris from curbside and those street trees that were all demolished and cutting those down and hauling those to Mary S. Young. While we have taken on cleaning our parks, getting all of our parks open and making our parks safe. So just to go into Longhorn Storm a little bit, you know, we are hopeful that there will be some reimbursements potentially through FEMA as a disaster. You know, the state has to qualify, if I'm not mistaken, it's $6 million. We are, you know, we've done early damage assessment, you know, submitted to the county, who submits to the state. You know, so those are all questions about reimbursement. We're hopeful and optimistic and looking into everything that we have to follow as far as guidelines from FEMA.
You know, I can jump in on that too a little bit. So the threshold for the county to be eligible for FEMA is 1.6 million. And then statewide, it has to reach, like Ken said, the threshold of 6 million. We have probably $2 million worth of damage, at least. So we were one of the harder places hit, but like Marion County and Salem specifically was also took in, I think the number was like $4 million worth of damage. And I was actually down there today and I can see that they're still there. They have a lot of cleanup to do there as well. Mm-hmm. And then Canby and Woodburn were the other spots that were really hard hit. So we're all anticipating that we'll meet that threshold. So let's just keep our fingers crossed. There's a lot going on at the federal level with money coming our way, with the American, what is it called? Plan, the rescue plan that was just signed today. And hopefully an infrastructure package coming soon. But the FEMA would be separate from that, and we're hopeful that we'll get that. That said, sometimes it can take up to a year for us to even be reimbursed. And it's very specific what they will reimburse. So luckily we have Ken, who's been totally on top of it from the get-go, along with Lance. So thank you.
Great. No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So just a brief overview, as long as we're on storms, quickly.
Yeah.
As of Monday, the city had moved 1,744 dump truck loads of debris to Mary S. Young Park. Now, the gravel parking lot at Mary S. Young Park is probably, you know, 85% filled with either piles of debris or a horizontal type tub grinder with a big conveyor belt that they're loading with a backhoe, basically a grappler, and it's spitting out hog fuel in the piles 25 to 30 feet tall. We ran out of space. We had to make a decision where to go next. So the lower parking lot at Wilderness Park, if you drive by on Clark Street, is being stuffed all the way in the back with debris as we continue to clean our parks and clean up everything that happened in that storm. So it's a massive amount of debris. It's really, it's devastating. The street trees, we're anticipating about 2,000 street trees would be cut down in the city due to damage. We started with 4 tree crews working in our parks. We're down to 2 that are working for us full time. We are their only customer. And they are, one of them is Mary S. Young and has been there for almost 2 weeks. And will probably be there potentially another 2 weeks. And the other one has went from Willamette to Fields Bridge to Mid Hill to Sunburst. And you know, they're working on all the things that are climbing. If you drove by Hammerley, there are 2 guys up in the trees by rope, kind of fun to watch as they're cutting down those branches that are all hanging up. So it's been a long battle and our staffs have worked hard. And you know, we're doing everything we can to get all our parks open. So any other questions on storm? The good thing is, you get back to the question though, during the pandemic, we were very conservative last year. We didn't do a lot of programming. We conserved as much money as possible. So we were looking good going into this fiscal year. And, you know, depending on how the reimbursements work out, you know, the storm is potentially a hit to our budget, but we'll, you know, keep our eyes and crossing our T's and hopefully get, you know, those reimbursements someday. So the second piece of what I wanted to show you.
Before you go to the capital projects, Ken, and leave the storm, I understand all of the crews that you have out there. Do you have enough support in the office to be managing all of this?
It's very challenging. You know, you can imagine if you own 600 acres that is predominantly all bordered by people who own homes, you know, managing the contracts and managing the incoming concerns of people who, you know, not only trees fall on their house, fall in their yard, street tree questions, trees that may be hazardous or someone, you know, thinks is hazardous behind their home in our open space. So, you know, I've been trying to work with all of those situations. So it's freed up some of our staff to continue, you know, kind of their real jobs or get them all out and helping do what we need to do. So like, it's out of the norm. It's been a big challenge. But the team at Westland has really pulled together, I think, you know, finance and admin and everybody to pull together to make sure that all our contracts are correct for FEMA and all the things that need to happen to hopefully get those reimbursements. I hope that answers it.
Yeah, thank you.
So the next thing, kind of just a high level, and this is the current capital improvement program is on our website. These are located under finance, the budget, and our CIP as it's called. This is just kind of the one section that pertains to Parks and Rec. This is just the table view, and it lists pretty detailed every project that we had scheduled from the year 2020, fiscal year 2020, through fiscal year 2025. So this was actually created back in 2019. We will be updating this year. It's every 2 years. So our next one will be 2022 through 2027. A lot of things on here have been completed. You know, there are things where possibly priorities change, things might come and go. Going to show you a different view. Hopefully you can see this. So this is part of the same book. But it gives a little more granular view, you know, as it lays it out. So accessibility upgrades are something for ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act compliance that we've had $10,000 in for every year. We try to move things up. I've kind of highlighted things in yellow that have been completed. Interesting thing about it gets confusing sometimes about city capital improvements programs. Some projects are listed even though they are not funded. But yeah, just look for the N's and Y's at some point. But some things are out in the future. This is the plans, which kind of help determine our systems development charges, formulation and things that are charged to developers. Because those are all based on, they're kind of half colored or just kind of half done, they're started. A lot of this stuff is already, you've seen all this in the Go Bond updates, but the book also goes into even more granular where it talks about where the money is used for every project. And I won't go through them all with you, but it's out there. And just on this topic, so you know, on April 5th, I will be going back to City Council and we will be doing a parks, a Go Bond Parks project update for City Council, where we are, what we've done, you know, make sure that we're still in line with our council and what the council has for priorities. I'll also be going and doing the Go Bond facilities projects as they work on, you know, potential items at Robinwood Station, Historic City Hall, Bolton Fire Hall, City Hall, and those facilities that, that have some things left in the project. Any questions there? Hope that was helpful. In some way, it is all online, and you can certainly call me, and we can, you know, walk through it or talk about it. It's those are big documents that have the whole city's information.
I have a question, back to the storm damage. So, Mr. Warder, what's your plan for, like, replanting the trees or regenerating the parks that have had severe damage?
Well, those are great questions, and I wish I had all the answers. But so we are optimistic that we will be replanting street trees. They're required by city code to be out in front of every house, you know, depending, one or two or three, depending where they live. But we have a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to that. How are they going to be paid for? Are they going to be required to go back where they were? Who's going to grab the stumps? Who's going to cut the roots if there's potential damage to the sidewalk panels? You know, under normal circumstances, those things are the responsibility of a homeowner. The sidewalk, even though it's in the public right of way and is a city asset, the sidewalk and those street trees are the responsibility of the homeowner. The city acknowledges this was a devastating natural disaster that hasn't happened in 50 years, you know, compared to Columbus Day storm in 62. So we're trying to come up with solutions that certainly this does not fall on the residents, you who own homes, but, you know, that we can help in some way, but we don't know what that means yet. And part of it is going to be up to the mayor and council someday making decisions and based on revenue streams and do we get FEMA and a lot of different questions for us, to be honest, Jane. Sorry.
Then my second question is, for the trees that need to come down, is there some sort of plan or outlay with, I know you, there was a, on the website, a pickup schedule for different neighborhoods. Can you briefly go through, or is there a place to locate for someone's local park if they're watching now, what will occur in the future? Because I know we still have the orange X of death on a lot of trees in our park that I know will eventually they'll get to, but can you, like, briefly go through each park and say what's been done, what needs to be done, so community members know?
I can't off the top of my head, you know, because a lot of it is there's not a plan laid out until there's a plan laid out. That makes sense. So Skyline Ridge, I can tell you, they assessed that yesterday. So I do have an assessment for Skyline Ridge that came from the tree assessors and the certified arborist with an independent company. Most of the parks, like Mary S. Young is the biggest example, but it's like most of them, they don't know what they're going to cut down or what they have to remove until they start going through the park. You know, if you walk into a park, you know, you'll just see tops broken out and you'll, you know, which you have probably done, and you'll see branches that are hanging up there. So there's really a plan made for everyone. It's based on the independent arborists that we've hired to make decisions as they work in our park. Does that make sense? And I can look up Skyline Ridge if you want.
I think one of the things that I learned, I had to have had an amazing crew help me with the tree in my backyard, which is actually my neighbor's tree. It was a group of guys that came up from Northern California to help out, and they were fabulous. And what, you know, what I saw was a couple of cracked branches. What they saw and what they did was 20 times more than what I thought needed to happen. So I think one of the things that I'm wondering if people don't have a good understanding of is how complicated it is to take down a tree. You know, these guys were showing me videos of like trunks that they're like looping together and, you know, trees that have split. And, you know, I mean, it was like wires and pulleys and like the physics of all of this was just amazing. So it's not just somebody like skinnying up a tree and just lopping off a branch. These guys know like velocity of fall and torque and, you know, all these, you know, all of these things where I think people, I feel like a lot of the comments that I've seen on like the Westland Facebook pages have really not had a good understanding of how complicated this is. Yes, it looks, it's sad to see all the trees down on, you know, down off of 43, but in the grand scheme of things, ODOT is the one who pooped the bed on this, where, you know, some of those trees should have been pruned a long time ago. So I think, you know, and as I'm watching some people, you know, some of the guys in Mary S. Young just across the street from me, you know, it's complicated. Like this is really, and it's actually, it's really interesting, like physics and geometry and math to put this together of how you really do this. So I think a lot of the people who are so up in arms about, oh my God, all these trees came down and what are they thinking and the city is stupid and blah, 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 don't understand, like, it's not just chopping down a tree. It's taking care of a you know, there's a lot more to the picture than I think people understand meets the eye.
Yeah, that's a great point, Sarah. Any other questions on the storm or the, that was a pretty fast review of the budget. John?
Yeah, I have a question for Ken. I know we had a great volunteer group that cleared a lot of stuff off trails last Saturday. And what I haven't seen this week is the integrity guys that were working in the park at Mary S. Young seem to have gone someplace else because they haven't been there. And I just wonder where they're at in terms of evaluating trees on the trails and when we might get the trails open, because we've cleared off the trails pretty well.
I think they were working over on the Mark Lane side. I'm not mistaken. But
they were there. They were there last Friday, but they haven't been there since.
No, they were there today. So I could see guys in the trees in along the, I mean, I'm on the other side of the street from right. The fence line, but I could see people in the, up in the trees and heard chainsaws and wood chippers all day long today.
Because I hadn't seen them this week. Usually they're in the morning.
So I am a month out of back surgery, and so I'm very slowly getting to walk my dogs again. So I was able to walk from my house up to the tot lot today, which is 4 or 5 houses. Right. And I just kind of poked my head in like in the fence, and there were 2 or 3 pickups on that trail with crews.
Really very far down
in the trees.
So yeah, the reason I asked Ken is that we're going to have 100 guys on Sunday at Mary S. Young to do stuff. Yep. And I was thinking if integrity was done with the Mark Line stuff, so they wouldn't have to drive trucks on it, we could repair a trail. Because they've really chewed that trail up, but I don't know when they're going to be done with that.
I don't know that they'll be done yet, John. I could talk to our park maintenance supervisor. We did meet today and talk about, you know, Mary S. Young is going to be open. There will be lots of warning signs on trails as we've had, you know, all along. Unfortunately, all of our signage isn't stopping anybody anywhere. But, you know, you're right. A lot of it has been cleared out and people just need to be cognizant of potential hazards overhead, like the signs say. You know, that's about the best we can do, but it'll be open tomorrow afternoon. The only parks that we will have closed will be Burnside Park, Wilderness Park. Mm-hmm. I think that might be the only two. I think Maddox Woods is going to be closed because of the forest main repair the county did. They're rebuilding that trail as we speak.
So it would be helpful for me, since I'm doing the trails, to know when they're going to be done driving trucks and stuff on the Mark Lane part of the trail, because then we'll repair it. And it's just, I'm going to have a lot of young guys that could do it on Sunday if they're pretty much done with it. If they're done with just part of it, then I could repair the part that they're not going to be on, unless they're going to keep driving over the stuff they've already done.
I will find out tomorrow, John.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'll let you know.
I know from at least today when I, like I said, I dubiously walked past the sign just to poke my head in. So from the tot lot going down towards the parking lot, they were about, there's that first big grove of trees that you go past. So I could see two trucks between the tot lot and kind of that first big grove of trees. And they were doing, like I said, they were working there pretty much all day. It was like a.
Yeah, there's a lot to do there.
Yeah, so there was, because I know that there was either from a windstorm or another storm that there was a couple other big limbs that came down that still had caution tape behind them prior to all of this.
One tree that's had caution tape for about 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that they were. So I know, like I said, at least between the tot lot and that first big grove of trees, I know that there were two trucks that I saw. I didn't go any further because I don't have that much energy and it still takes me a lot to move around. But they have done a ton of work, at least in that area. And I know that even a little bit towards the bridge, so across from my house and a couple houses up from me, so heading up towards 43, I could see a couple of guys up in the trees today cutting stuff down. So I know that they were doing a lot of work in there. And
good.
I think they're doing, I know that, and they actually cleaned up, the city cleaned up a lot of the neighbor yard debris in our neighborhood today too.
Mm. That's great. You know, for such a catastrophic storm, that was really unpleasant to have 8 days without power or phones or internet. I've been very impressed with how people pulled together and the city has responded and kept the city safe. These are such unusual circumstances. I'm just really impressed with the responsiveness. All right.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I can tell people that the upper trail, sort of Heron Creek Trail, most of that stuff, that sort of mile and a half loop that many dog walkers are on, those of us that run and walk are on, we've been on that a number of days looking at trees. Last time we were there was Monday, and a bunch of us took some hanging trees down. It's always interesting what you think is going to hang and fall, how hard it is to bring down, but we've done that. I've been on that. Last time I ran that trail was Wednesday, and it's pretty safe. I mean, you know, you can always get hit by a tree and marry us young, but I think the upper part of that Heron Creek Trail, that mile and a half loop there, is pretty safe right now. I'm sure that the integrity guys will walk and find some stuff they can do, but we've taken care of everything we could get at that's hanging. And the only thing that's really blocking is a tree that's, you know, all the way across the trail that you can duck under just after you cross, you know, heading, just after you go across the crosswalk, head across the bike path heading south and just turning to the little uphill there. There's a tree there that you kind of got to duck under, and that's not going anywhere. It's 3 feet in diameter. So that'll have to be taken out. But, you know, even though people will do it at their own risk, we've making it as little risk as we can see for those of us that have been working there for a long time. But you never know. I wouldn't do it on a windy day.
Okay. Anything else on budget or capital improvement plan? It sounds like it may not be a bad idea for us as individual parks and rec board members to maybe go online and do a little bit of a deeper dive And if we have any questions, we can bring it to future meetings. Ken, do you want to do a GoBond Parks project overview?
Real quickly. So this is the major accomplishment this week. Fields Bridge Park had two artificial turf fields replaced in the last week. That was quite a task the company did, partnering with Westland Baseball Association, who contributed $30,000 to this project, which was phenomenal of them. Project went off without a hinge. We contracted with baseball like we did a decade ago, and worked fabulously. It's pretty, it's safe, it's going to meet all the requirements. I'm proud to have those here. Yes. No.
I was going to say they look great. I drove by them this afternoon and they're really sharp. You guys did a great job.
It's like a new car. They're nice and shiny. So one of the things that I wanted to show you, this is not new to you guys. Oops, I apologize. This was updated yesterday, not February 11th. So this is what we've been looking at as we look at our parks bond project summaries. You know, we're getting ready to talk to council, let them know, you know, what we're anticipating, funds for completion for projects. We're also in the process right now of working with the consultant along with Public Works to update our systems development charges and see where that goes. So part of what you're going to see on here now are some projects that have been marked as, you know, potentially systems development charges eligible. Those are the projects that increase capacity. And you know, so as we get ready to, you know, talk to council, you know, if they have different priorities and things might move around, whatever that, you know, picture looks like, you know, when our SDCs are updated, they can kind of see what would qualify and what might not, you know, what they may want to keep in the bond or move out or whatever council decides. So we are working very hard right now on the non-motorized boat ramp that is at Willamette Park. We're partnering with our Public Works Department. We're trying to get a scope of work. As we've kind of talked, that's probably a 2 to 3 year project, because anytime you work close to the river, you know, there's a lot of permits we need through FEMA, you know, rising rivers and all the different things. Public Works is going to split some of the costs with us as they overlay Volt Street. So that's good for our parks department, so we can share some costs. Maddox Woods, we finally got our third bid for Maddox Woods today. So we will be working on connecting the house there to the sewer that we had to put in, the main line under the property. So we now have a manhole to connect to. As I mentioned, the county is rebuilding about a quarter mile of trail as they repaired their force main sewer line. That'll hopefully be done tomorrow. And we're starting conversations about the Willamette Greenway Trail, which has been a priority with, I know, this parks board, and we're just trying to organize and figure out what consultants we need to start to think about partnering with, and how do we have all those conversations with PGE.
We lost you, Ken.
Completely?
There you go.
All right. It's kind of what the Willamette Greenway project looks like going forward, you know, that was a big project in our master plan. And then I'll just mention, as we create our capital improvements program for the next 6 years, we are looking at the master plan exclusively. You know, it wants to talk about indoor recreation, possibly. We have a bike skills course and pump track at Merrillhurst Heights, you know, that is in there. We're activating parks with games and different things. So we're trying to make sure that what we're proposing and what council wants to do is in line with what the community wants to start in that plan that was adopted in 2019. So I will send this out to you again so you have it, and maybe I'll let you guys talk for a while.
I would like to ask if I may, could you send that project update out with the agenda so we can take a look at it before we come to the meeting?
Sure.
I mean, it can just be kind of a regular part of the process.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And then I was, another question I had regarding this. We have so many new city council members. Would it be helpful for those of us who were part of the master plan process to maybe do a quick overview of what is in there so that we can bring the new city council members up to speed and, you know, keep us grounded in the master plan as well? Would that be helpful?
I happen to have a council liaison who might weigh in that on possibly on April 5th, if our chair wanted to do a brief overview.
That would be great. We'd always appreciate, we always appreciate it when you guys come to council. So please do.
I'll offer to do that. I think I have all the PowerPoints from the first time. And then you talked about the Go Bond projects, and you talked about Willamette Park, the non-motorized boat launch, and the Greenway Trail, but you didn't say anything about the water sport area at Willamette Park.
That's the Willamette River waterfront. I'm sorry if I didn't say it properly, but that's the one that we need to start talking about consultants and how do we move that project forward on PGE land. PGE owns 90% of the land below Willamette Park and most of Willamette Park. There's private ownership. You know, there's a lease with Willamette Paper at the top of PGE. So those are all things to start to talk about, you know, the trail itself, and then how that trail interlinks with that potential waterfront area that we have in the master plan. So that's a big lift, Vicki. But I think those are conversations we have to start.
Yes.
Community to, you know, move it forward. It's not a 1-year project, but we have the money in the Go Bond to start moving that forward. And we should probably do that. I know the board in the past has wanted that to happen.
Well, at our first meeting with the new Parks and Rec board for 2021, last month, I asked each person, what is, from all of your experience and everything you know, what is important to you? What do you think is important to the community? And it was pretty universal consensus to really push forward the all of the Go Bond projects at Willamette Park and that whole area. So, you know, maybe that's a standing agenda item as an update of where we're at, so that since we did identify that as a major priority as an advisory group, that we just have that as a standing agenda item as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like we, Tara, let me know. We have someone in our waiting room.
Oh. Which is, you just went mute again.
We have someone in the waiting room. If you would like to invite them in and see if they were just late for community comments or couldn't get in or something.
Oh, all right. Super. So I just wanted to mark that the next piece is items of interest. Oh, excuse me, PRAP planning. So who do we have joining us, Tara?
I've got Doug Vokes.
Doug Vokes. Welcome, Doug. If you have a microphone, if you can turn it on, and if you have a video, we always like to see, you know, as close as we can get to connecting.
Still showing him muted.
You're so still on mute.
I have to jump off and go to another meeting, but I wanted, if you guys have any questions, please just reach out to my email at jwalters@wessonoregon.gov. If you have any questions, I'll get back to you. And it was nice to see everybody. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jules.
Thanks.
Okay. See you.
Thanks, Jules.
Okay, Mr. Volks, it appears that you're signed in twice now, but you're still on mute.
I'll try now. Doug, can you hear us?
Am I muted?
There you go.
We can hear you now.
Chris, if you can talk. Thanks. Okay, Doug, what do you have to share with us tonight? Doug, had you anticipated sharing something with us tonight?
Yeah, can you hear me?
So, hello. Doug, one of the things you're going to have to do, it appears that you're signed in on two devices, and you're going to have to either mute one or sign off of one because it's creating a feedback loop.
Sorry.
That's okay. We all do it.
I didn't realize I had two devices. That's why I can hear myself. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is simple. This Saturday, the 13th. Sunset neighborhood will have another cleanup day at the park, 9 o'clock. So we'll get it done eventually.
Awesome.
A lot of work.
So Doug, I heard sunset on the 13th at 9 o'clock.
Yes, hey, ma'am.
Doug, I want to thank you all for last week. I noticed there were giant piles out near the sidewalk on Monday.
Sure. It
was spectacular. Thank you.
Yeah, two piles. So all I right. Assume the city does not have an automated way to pick this loose stuff up, like a badger or some sort.
No, unfortunately, all the stuff in the parks, we don't have any way to pick that up off the ground. If we get it out to a solid surface, that's where we can use mechanics to get it picked up and put in our truck. So, unfortunately, it comes down to feet on ground and hands on branches.
Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to share, Doug?
No, not at this time.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming and sharing the information on sunset cleanup. So our next agenda item is the PRAB planning. And one of the things that we talked about last month was trying to plan forward a little bit. And Ken and I talked about connecting to maybe consider what that might look like. And with the storm damage and everything that just didn't happen, we touched base late today. What we had talked about is pre-planning specific discussion items so that if people had a particular interest or focus, that they would know when it was on our agenda, when we were going to talk about it. And it also allows all of us, if we can, to do maybe a little bit of pre-work for the meeting. If we're going to talk about the budget, that we have the chance to review the budget beforehand. And so we have first column is the month. The second column is just project update. Third column are key board discussion items. And if maybe there's pre-work that might help us come better informed and better prepared. So this is just a starting point. We were going to talk about what we wanted to do with this. The original list of items came from our past board, and then we briefly looked at it in February. So I wanted to open it up for feedback. One, on the idea of having a little bit more thought through, prepared, and transparent approach to discussing issues. And then do we have the right things? Can you guys see that all right? So board, this is board discussion. Do we still like the idea of having a kind of a roadmap for the year that we can be real transparent with? Here's specific agenda items. If people are really interested, maybe they can come to that particular session. For example, in April, I put programming review. You know, if I have a bunch of kids and I have something to say or share or feedback, boy, I know maybe I want to do a community comment on that one. And that would be an example. You know, before we come to that meeting, we should all be reading the Parks and Rec program guide so that we come informed. It's just being a little bit more deliberate and thoughtful in how we go forward. And I am also trying to honor one of the learning lessons learned from last year is if our board doesn't have a plan and goals, then community comments pretty much is our rudder, which isn't a bad thing, but I don't think it allows us to make the progress that I think we're capable of. So any input on first question, do you like the idea of having something kind of planned out? What are your thoughts?
Vicki, this is Todd. Maybe I'll jump in. I really like this approach and appreciate, you know, how the conversation over the last couple of months has led to this. I'd like the addition that you guys have added regarding the pre-work, you know, being prepared. That's always one of the things as I, you know, make the scramble to get ready for this meeting. It's like, oh, what do I need to read? What are we going to be talking about today? And those sorts of things. So I appreciate it. Obviously, the more detail that we can add into it, better. I guess one thought might be, are there on any given months, and I'm still new to the board because I don't know, are there actions that have to be taken with any of these that, you know, say we have to have an action, a proposal or something that we have to give to city council? You know, is there something around the budgeting or anything that says, hey, you know, when we get to this topic, it should result in some sort of action? And what might that action be? Just so that we're prepared to know, are we going to be voting? Do we, you know, have to get to some point in the meeting or not. And maybe it's just general discussion, and that's what it always is. But if there is a specific action that can relate to the board discussion, it might be good to just point that out.
So, you know, one of the primary roles of our group is we are an advisory committee to the council. And so even if it is, we want to share this learning, that would help inform them and fulfill our role. And if you think about our mission, if we're not looking at discussing it and coming up with, this is what our advice is, then mm-hmm. we're not fulfilling our advisory role. So that's, I think the only thing that we must provide is the end of year evaluation and plan for the upcoming year. And that's calendar year, not fiscal year. That being said, I think on each one of these, we can do a short synopsis informing the city council. Yeah. And that will help prepare them when concerned citizens have input or questions, and maybe they go directly to city council, then city council will have that information at their fingertips. That's good. Good.
Thank you.
Potential recommendations.
So, Vicky, so I think as we discussed last time, you're absolutely correct on the advisory capacity. And right now, our city council has not set their goals for the year. So, and as we discussed, hopefully their goals give you direction, you know, to help them make their decisions, basically. The other thing we have to remember is I love this concept. I think that we have to recognize, though, that this isn't a document that drives staff on a monthly basis. Because, you know, as I look at this, there are great things on here, but some of the things we're going to have to do before, after, as they're happening, and we might not have a full report. I mean, you know, with what you want to talk about. So, but I think planning ahead and looking at all the things that do come up or have come up is the smartest way to go.
Well, it also provides some guidance for the board members. I mean, just because there's a lot of information available doesn't mean we necessarily know what to look for, where it is, and all have reviewed it before coming to the meeting. So this puts more burden on us. And I think that's a really good observation, Ken. This is not meant to manage staff. It's really meant to manage our meetings. That's a really good point. And I would think that we have a really good collaborative relationship with staff. And if you see something that you think is unrealistic or that would create undue burden, I would hope and invite any of the staff to either suggest a change or an alternative or maybe a delay or maybe even moving it if necessary. But okay, so we heard from Todd. Any other comments? John, Chris, Jane, Sarah?
I like the idea of having a plan going forward so the community can come in and interact with us.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the idea of having a fixed agenda, something to look forward to, and having the pre-work. But I also agree that having a deliverable for each one is a really good idea too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I think that's reasonable. I think if anything, I mean, it would be like a total separate agenda item for, like, you know, like storm cleanup recap for, you know, for next month, just to kind of go from, you know, where we were to where we are at, you know, at next month's meeting. But I don't think it needs to be something that deviates from this particular plan. Because I think when we came up with this a couple of months ago, I think it was something that, because we had been derailed for so many for so many meetings, for so many special interests, for such a long time, that we needed to be able to pull back from that and say, this is the work that is important, and this is the work that we need to do for this committee.
But I do want to say that, you know, along those lines, I think that, like you did last month, there was a recommendation forwarded to council. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think if you have recommendations that you want to let them know about, I mean, I don't know that those have a specific time or you have to be told, you know, to do that. I think as a board, that's what you're here for, to advise. Mm-hmm. Have things to let them know about. And I think that can be appropriate at any time. And I would say, when you do that, don't count on me or Tara to send them an email. Go to community comments, talk to them, let them know this is what the board did, so that they can ask you questions or something and interact, so that it's not just a one-way email. But just my thoughts.
So what I'm hearing is maybe having a fourth column around deliverables and action plan around communication. It is not fair to expect staff to do that. And if it is the board informing council or advising council, then, you know, who, if it's an email or if it's attending a meeting or doing a presentation, being really clear with that as we leave the meeting. I think that's a really good addition to this. That's good.
Yeah. For example, Vicki, you know, what you noted, that you could give the overview of the plan to city council, right? Yeah. So that would, you know, after this meeting and that fourth column, you could just say, you know, here's what was offered up. And I think that'll help us as we get down to December when we're doing our self-evaluation, right? We can just kind of look at some of those interactions.
It's a yeah, good idea. Love that.
Other stuff.
Well, let's take a look at some of the pieces here. We have March, and we're talking about the 2021 plan. We talked about the Willamette Go Bond project, and this is a vehicle for community engagement. So if we look at next month, I don't know what, Tara, if this is a good time, but the programming review is for us to, you know, publicize. We're just going to talk about the programming. We all have to read the Parks and Rec program guide and, you know, just share a little bit of the vision of, as we hopefully close pandemic conditions. How do we do the last leg of pandemic and transition into post-pandemic when so many things are still up in the air, and just have an opportunity to just dialogue on just that one subject and make sure that we are all informed. And if there's something that we want to then advise the city council, that would come out. One of the things we don't want to do is, it's like, okay, Tara, I want you to spend 3 hours putting together a presentation for the Parks Board. Obviously, the burden is on us. We need to read through the Parks Guide and just have a dialogue on what the plan is and what the vision is and how we can best support you. So I don't know, is that appropriate for next month, or is that something you'd like to see later in the year?
Well, this is another unique year. We usually like to have our summer brochure out right before spring break or right after spring break. Unfortunately, we're just, you know, starting our summer planning. So we're aiming to get our brochure out middle of April, maybe end of April this year. So,
okay. So maybe moving that to May.
Yeah, I mean, we can certainly, I'll let you know, when it's done, so you can look at it before, but probably May, since our meetings are the second week in the month, it would be better.
I do have to give you kudos for conditioning people like myself, because it's like, okay, it's time for the summer guide. April it is.
We're 6 months out, right?
24 years of raising kids in the city.
So Vicky, the problem we have is we're all excited that we're in moderate, you know, that's fabulous in Clackamas County. We even cheered when we went to high, and that's really kind of weird, but guidelines from OHA when it comes to parks and rec are very complicated.
Yes.
Very vague. And our state association, every week, Oregon Recreation Park Association, we have 7 sections that are meeting, you know, therapeutic recreation, outdoor, admin, sports, you know, all those sections meet and look at to see if the guidelines have changed. And the biggest challenge we have is that you go onto the OHA site and it says, oh, this one changed on March 9th. Then you go look at it, but there's no indication of what changed. So you have to read it word for word and hopefully save the last one to see what changed. And we've been asking for a year to please redline or do something. And they're overworked, I'm sure, too. But, you know, we don't even know if we can rent shelters this year. That's a question that's out there. Because it kind of, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we go to outdoor recreation and then it tells me to go back to social distancing and then it sends you back to masks and it kind of, you know.
And so this discussion here is exactly what we can put on the agenda to just say, this is what we know. This is what we don't know. We can build, I'm happy to do a little bit of work. We can build a little communication and move it along.
Weekly or daily, and they're doing a great job of planning things in tiers kind of for this summer. But just so everybody kind of has a little insight on the world of OHA is complicated for Parks and Rec. We have a lot of amenities that don't fit into restaurants or, you know, yoga or something. But youth sports are going to start after a year. I want everybody to know. We have staff working very hard to make sure everybody has a return to play plan. Youth soccer, youth baseball, youth softball, girls across, boys across. They're all going to be happening in the next couple of weeks on our fields. We're excited that schools are opening up some of their fields, which, you know, takes a little bit of pressure off, even though they have high school sports. They're working in different seasons. They're in season 2 now, which is actually football and soccer and things, and that confuses all of us. But it's a big positive step to get kids out from behind screens.
So if you just look at the big ticket items, one is programming review. Obviously the plan for all of the Willamette Go Bond stuff is there, but other pieces are volunteer recognition. You know, we have some amazing people who make this happen all the time. And as a parks board, I think that recognizing them is part of the process. Let's celebrate the success. One of the things that we talked about is we talked about like a park review for accessibility, safety, maintenance, invasive species, and maybe having kind of a passport worksheet or assigned parks. Clearly this is at the end of summer, so, you know, we can do a little bit of independent work. And this is where we can talk about the impact of ADA accommodations, safety, for example, whether it's our equipment or our material or pesticides or, you know, whatever that individuals have a real concern, that is set aside to go through and really hear and go and do our own kind of audit. That would be a big deliverable, a big push, but it would be kind of fun. We could meet in one of the parks, do a little work. And then I put on here just, I know that we have a lot of people who have strong opinions about dogs in parks. If maybe we just say, all right, on this date, we're just going to open it up for discussion. And, you know, I put maybe either visit or meet at Mary S. Young by the dog park, by the dog area, so that we are kind of looking at those issues that tend to kind of surface and bubble, just making the time, taking care of it, putting it to bed. Just a suggestion. What I'd like to suggest is I'll make the adjustments that you discussed tonight with the additional column and moving the programming, and then I'll email it out to the board. And if you have feedback or changes or things that you would like to add or change, if you email it back to me, I'll consolidate all of the feedback and before our next meeting, get it back to you. How's that for a forward action? And then who's doing communications and website for the city these days?
Really handled for the most part by department.
Okay.
So we have in admin, Alicia Schroyer, our communications person, and Dylan was our assistant to the city manager. They handle the weekly newsletter, the main city homepage, and the City of Westland Facebook page. And I don't know if they have Instagram or Twitter, I don't recall. But in our department, we have our rec staff that are handling our webpage, our Facebook, our Twitter, and our Instagram. Not all of them there? Yeah.
Well, I would just suggest that once we get this finalized at our meeting next month, that we maybe talk to those stakeholders and have them kind of prepared of what are all of the communication mechanisms. You know, if we're trying to be transparent and proactive to make sure that people are aware of what we're doing.
Right. I don't claim to be the expert in this area at all, but to me, a lot of those with the staffing levels we have, those are great for outputs. But it seems to me that maybe someone knows, how do we get the inputs? Where you know, because if we get it on Facebook now, it's like, oh, I got to copy it, I got to take it, I got to put it somewhere. There has to, you know, there's got to be some different ways that we can integrate into our website to get input from people. And I know, I can't remember the company name, but Tiger uses a company, a software package, you know, and they'll have things on their website like ask the public works director a question, or ask the parks board a question, or what do you think about something? And it, you know, it provides the community provide input on different topics or ask questions.
I love that.
Bang the Table is the name of the company, I think. And I'm sure there's thousands of companies out there that might do something like that. But whether it's the private sector or public, but it'd be great. Some of the things you're talking about, you know, people might not have to come to a meeting.
Yes.
We could put something out before the meeting and gather some input back.
Yeah.
Some guys can, I mean, I don't think it has to be a survey every time, but maybe just, you know, a couple of bullets and ideas and let them, I don't know, give us input.
I love that. That's a great idea. You know, that's something we can, I have a lot of tools that could be used for that. How about if, since we're moving programming for next month, we put finalize our plan and community input.
Anybody that has ideas, I'm just afraid, you know, without a department communications person, you know, I mean, I don't know how many of you do Twitter or Facebook for an organization. I did it for about 5 years. I was never great at it, but what I can tell you is it's time consuming.
It's huge.
Finding the pictures, writing everything. So if we can get input some way that just comes into our system and we don't have to put a lot of man hours into it, except maybe organize it and give it to you, that would be awesome.
Well, you know, I might have to think this through, but I could put together a little open survey monkey link And that link would go every single month. And it would be very simple. What's your feedback on this topic, this topic, this topic in general? All I have to do is hit a report PDF and send it out to everyone. That would be very easy. And so there's a known link that, and it's just real simple. Here's the topic. What's your feedback? And that way, and we can have the dates that is opened and closed. That would be very easy to manage. What do you think about that?
Vicky, so is the idea then just to provide the community with some way to have questions or provide comments on any topic, or would you have it kind of topic specific, kind of rolling with the monthly schedule you have here? Or
I think we should align it to the monthly schedule, mm-hmm. but then have maybe any other comments you'd like to share this month.
Yeah. Okay.
And have that limited, so you know people aren't cut and pasting a huge document. But that would be easy to run, and then you just export the data and can send it out. And that way, instead of having 50 different mechanisms to manage, we have a link every single month. And it's all set up, it's all published, and people can get on. And it's like, we will be looking at this data on this date.
Yeah.
And I could take ownership for pulling it and sending it out prior to the meeting. And that way it would take the burden off staff. All you have to do is say, oh, look, we're going to be talking about that in May. Why don't you click on the link and add your comments there?
Sorry.
Right. Yeah, well, I think that would be really valuable, especially if you could run that report and we can get those comments ahead of that particular meeting, right? Because that would...
Yeah.
You get a sense of what's most important, what from the feedback, and kind of structure the agenda accordingly, I think.
Yeah. That's
closure to the topic that we can discuss it and then move on and move on to another topic the next month.
Yeah. And that would, you know, the people who don't come to the meetings to talk, the biggest complaint is, well, I don't know when you guys are talking about it. I'll show up if you guys are talking, if you let me know. And so this will, you know, provide a forum for all of those other people who just don't have the time to show up every week. This is pretty good. So just so that I'll take ownership for revising this chart. I've been making notes in with all of your comments. I'll send it out. Please review it, rip it to shreds, add, change, delete, reshape. Say, I do not want to talk about this year. No way. You know, whatever you want. This is our plan. And then I'll take all of the feedback, make a revised version, send it out before the next meeting. And it wouldn't, I might even be able to set up all of the links, and you guys can even look at the surveys based on the topic. Be easy. And if you guys can look at that before the meeting, then we can just tweak it and finalize it. At our April meeting. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
I think it's great.
So Vicky, I'll throw out one other thing I've thought about. So as part of your survey, each month, you have a little did you know built in.
Oh, brilliant. So
tell them something that you want to tell them about our park system, about something that, you know, I mean, when we've done passport things and we're doing, well, Tara can talk, but Lucky Leprechaun things, people are like, I didn't even know what that park had in it. I didn't know it existed. I mean,
I love that.
Something, whatever you guys want to let them know about something.
I love that, Ken. That's brilliant. I just made that addition.
And I think that's really nice because I saw, you know, with a lot of the, you know, in the last month of, you know, post storm catastrophe, you know, a lot of people in, you know, certain, you know, like our certain community forums ask the same questions over and over and over, where, you know, I would try to post a link like to the parks page or to the city page or something like that, where, so like the leprechaun thing has been really fun. It's been like really fun to kind of to follow and, you know, get some city engagement with that. So I think that the more that we can proactively inform people of what's going on here, I mean, there were plenty of smart aleck comments of, you know, what do you mean the park is closed? I'm like, well, it says right here on the city website, the park is closed. But I think that the more that we can say, hey, this is what we did, you know, like the field, like for Fields Bridge with the fields. You know, little unique things about each, you know, each park or each site, I think is really cool. Cause it, I mean, I've learned a lot just by, you know, by those kinds of things. And so I think if we can get more community engagement and a little less smarminess from some people, that we can actually raise up what we do to people.
I love it. And it keeps us in a positive place. Okay. Any other suggestions as far as action plan on that? Are we good? Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, good.
All right. Then I'll just go to, are there any other items of interest from the board? And are there any other updates that you haven't already gone over, Ken?
I've probably talked enough tonight, but I think Tara can probably update you a little bit on what the rec side's doing and what they have done and what they have planned so far in the next month or two, possibly.
Yes. yeah, so like Sarah said, our Lucky the Leprechaun has been very popular. We've had probably at least like 3 or 4 booklets, maybe probably more, turned in every day. So that ends next Tuesday. We're going to have a drawing. And so that was really popular. So we're going to have an egg hunt one next for Easter. So that'll start right after spring break. That'll go the week after Easter. So we'll go till the 9th. So we'll have hidden eggs. We're going to add 2 more locations. So we'll do some facilities along with parks in there. So we'll have some more clues. We are doing a hop into spring event here at City Hall, April 2nd, 2 to 5. You guys can all come and get a donut and visit the Easter Bunny. So we'll have that event. And then our ACC is working on doing a plant giveaway for the spring since they missed out on their Valentine's storm plant giveaway. So they just want to, you know, see their patrons come through, drive through, get a plant, a little goodie, just say hi. We're working on our summer planning, summer camps. We've started some classes. OHA is letting us have like 10 and yoga starting. Fields are opening up, busy with that. We just had our ambassador presentations for this year. We didn't have a huge turnout, but we did select 3 wonderful ambassadors for this year's court, I guess we call it. Then we are planning Arbor Week next week in April. Give away some plants. We've got a busy few weeks. Yeah.
But we'd love to say that we're going to have an old time fair, street dance, movies in the park. We're working on alternatives because I think we can probably agree that we don't feel like we're going to be 1,000 to 5,000 people this summer. But they're working hard to have alternatives and possibly smaller venues and sit in your circle at a movie and things like that. So we'll keep you briefed on all the hard work they're working on. Mm-hmm.
Lake Oswego somehow got, I don't know how they got the waiver, but they had like a craft fair and everything was distant, and they had, I mean, had it set up pretty well. It was all outside, but.
Yeah, we're working on that. It's called a market.
Yeah.
So there's lots of guidelines. If you call it a market, we're going to work on something like that for this summer.
That's great. Okay. Any other updates, Tara?
Well, that's all I have for the spring.
You're awesome. All right. Any other feedback, questions, or items from the board?
I know this probably isn't really a parks thing, but is there anything that anybody has heard from the city as far as like the, because I'm on the front lines of all of this with bringing vaccinations more local. I mean, just because I know that there's a lot of, you know, there's, you know, vulnerable people in this, you know, in this city that can't necessarily get to the convention center or to the airport or those kinds of things. I mean, I've been involved with multiple mass, you know, vaccine clinics over, you know, the last couple of months, and, you know, just want to see people being able to get vaccinated and get, you know, have things being able to open up safely.
What I can tell you is that I don't anticipate the city being involved, unfortunately, in any way. I mean, that the county, the way we're set up, the county has the health department.
Yeah.
We don't have anybody, to be honest, that I'm aware of with any qualifications whatsoever in the medical field. TVFNR is giving shots. Quantum Valley Fire and Rescue, I think last time I heard, they're giving about 600 a week. They're under, obviously, supervision of OHA, who kind of tells them who they give them to. And I'm not sure how that works. I know that Safeway is giving shots now. It has been for, I think, two, minus the storm, a couple of weeks. So we just don't have the ability to be involved, to be honest, is kind of where we're at. I know that they're working with the county, and our elected officials are, you know, trying to move things forward, but I don't know what else is happening. I don't think anything at the city.
Okay. All right, then, as we close our meeting, any feedback on our meeting? I've been trying to hit hour and a half so that we don't go the full 2 hours. Any feedback or things you'd like to see changed in the future? Always open for suggestions. Okay. No?
You're born to lead this group, Bib.
This is what I do all day long. Zoom after Zoom after Zoom after Zoom or Teams.
And you're very good at it. You're very good at it, Vicki. Thank you.
You're very nice. Thanks. Then I'll go ahead and close tonight's meeting with, Ken, you took ownership for emailing out the materials you shared tonight, and I'd already reviewed the action plan for our monthly kind of schedule. I don't think there were any other go forward actions. Can you summarize that before we leave?
How about instead of just emailing, I know you want the park projects update, but instead of emailing the little things I showed, would you like me to send links to the city budget? To
see how God, this is so much things? Better. I love links.
Bigger documents, but I think it makes more sense for you guys to and be able to read, you know, at least the intro and all that fun stuff and result in all the pretty pictures.
Excellent. That's great. All right. Then we are officially closing our meeting at 7:10, and look forward to seeing you next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.